Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you're here amongst us. Thank you that we can be still and know that you are God. Lord, as we come to the words that I'm going to speak this morning, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would lead the way, that it would be you speaking through these words and not my opinions, but from you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. God speaks to his people. There has never been a time when God does not speak to his people. Can you imagine being in the Garden of Eden? You're just there in paradise, wandering around. Does it get any better? And in the cool of the evening, the Father comes down and you just spend the evening with him, walking, talking, feeling the grace of God. Could it be any more perfect than that? And one day it will be. One day it will be. Now, when I'm thinking about this topic, hearing God, it was quite interesting because then I thought, sometimes it's hard to hear God and sometimes it's easy. But if you're a Christian, God's going to be speaking to you. Different ways that God spoke to people, how important it is for us. And then when I got to that part, I thought, okay, how do we block God out? How do we put things in his place so we don't hear him? So we'll talk about that. And then we'll talk about how we get through those blocks. So deep within the heart of every believer is the desire and the need to commune with God. And this is something that people know, but unless you're a Christian, we'll try to fill that gap in different ways. But for us, it is that call, and it is God calling us. He's the one who calls us. And this is what it says in Hebrews. Long ago, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets at different times and in different ways. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. That's Hebrews 1:1-2. God is still speaking. I'm going to keep coming back to that because it's so important that we actually understand. He keeps speaking. Sometimes we don't listen. The other assurance we have is my sheep will hear my voice and I know them. And they're following me. Very important. Right, and let's go through some Old Testament examples. So we've got Samuel. You remember Samuel's in the middle of the night, and yes, his name being called. Samuel jumps up. He looks around. Goes over to Eli. Wakes old Eli up. Eli goes, "That's not me. Go back to bed." A little bit later, he hears his name. Samuel jumps up. Goes up. Wakes old Eli up. Eli's probably pretty grumpy by this time, middle of the night. Old guy, go away. The third time he comes, he hears his voice. And this time Eli gets it. He says, it's God. Just say, I'm here. And I think for us, God does that. He calls us. He calls us by name. And we can respond to him when we hear his voice. What Samuel did then is he actually responded. It gets pretty tricky for him though, doesn't it? Because first message he gets from God is you've got to tell Eli he and his family are going to be wiped out. Can you imagine that as a little boy going, well, I don't want to give this message to anybody, but he had to because he was going to be obedient. And that was the start of a life of total obedience. Not one word that Samuel said fell to the ground. That's the promise. But if we look back at Samuel, and a lot of you are Christian parents, so you'll identify with this. Samuel was prayed for before his life even started. He was dedicated to God by his mother, and he had to learn to speak when God listened, and understand when God was speaking to him. It's the same for us. When God first starts speaking to us, it takes a bit of time sometimes to work out that it's his voice. And that's okay because he doesn't want to give up on us. But also, Samuel had a close relationship with God. So that when God spoke to him, he was faithful to pass it on 100%. Okay. So I guess my question to us is, has there been a time in our lives, I'm going to ask a few questions as we go through just to provoke some thought. Has there been a time in your life when God's asked you to tell something, to give a message or do something, and you're going, no. I don't want to do this. I do not want to pass this message on. And sometimes it might be something where we know someone's in strife and we have a word from God, which we don't go and deliver like, you're going to hell, smacking them on the head, the old way. where we need to just go and get alongside someone and say, actually, this is what God is saying. And I know sometimes that's difficult because sometimes it means we've got to put ourselves on the line and there's a risk for us. We might lose a friendship. You know, this person might just close the door forever. So it's pretty risky. So then, but he actually waited on the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to say? How do you want me to bring this message? And he went in to see Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, this guy's, you know, if you get it wrong, that's it. That's the end of your life. But he went in there and he gave the glory to God straight away. He didn't say, look, I'm just so great. You know, dreams are my thing. You know, come to me. I'll tell you all about it. He actually said, this is God. And this is what the Lord has said to you. The way he did that, he proved to all of the false prophets and the kings that there is only one God, and that is the Lord God of Israel. And he set an example to all of us in that he just didn't stop praying. He prayed constantly to God, and he refused to stop praying, even when he was, you know, going to be thrown into the lion's den, which he did, you know, got thrown into the lion's den. Sometimes we feel like we've been thrown into the lion's den, I think. He was never going to let anything stop him from hearing and obeying God. And he was not concerned about the jealous opposition and the people around him who really wanted to get rid of him because he had power and he had position that they had coveted. Okay. And let's go on to Moses. Moses encountered a burning bush. Who's had a burning bush experience? Anyone? No. So it's interesting, isn't it? Because all of these people have heard God in a different way, haven't they? And from that burning bush experience, his life changed forever, and as did Israel. Things that happened then, leading them out, that was a different way that God spoke to someone. Then we consider David. He won battles, he wrote worship songs, and he had a daily habit of seeking God in the morning, in the evening, in the temple, in the streets, with great abandon, so worshipping God and hearing from God. So I just getting a bit of a flavour that none of these are God speaking in the same way, which is really super important. But if you go through the Old Testament, you'll also find that God spoke to people through angels, through visions, through the Urim and the Thummim, through symbolic actions, a gentle whisper, miraculous signs. The way that God spoke to his people was different. There is no formula. It's so important that the way that these people heard from God and the things that happened was because they had relationship with God. It was born out of that deep relationship. And all of the people we've mentioned had a habit of just hanging out with God every day. So can you imagine if God spoke to you or spoke to all of us as people in exactly the same way every single time? What would we do as humans? Get bored, yep. What else? We'd probably just go, look, if you do, A, B, C. And to minister to. Each one of them had a unique experience with God. And each one of them knew that it was God who was speaking to them. Samuel had to learn. We do too, but they all knew the voice of God. That becomes really important because if you don't hear the voice of God, you don't know the voice of God, how will you know when it's not the voice of God? How will you know the counterfeit? Because I tell you what, the devil's pretty clever. He will send messages. And I was thinking about this and then thinking about the prophet that God sent to give a message, and God says to him, do not talk to anyone on the way to your mission or on the way back. Do not stop with anyone. So he's gone down there, he's done the right thing, he's delivered the message. On the way back, another prophet comes out and goes, God doesn't need that anymore. Come and eat with me. And then he dies the next day, he's ripped to pieces. So it's important that we know God and we don't get swayed away from what we know God has said, because sometimes the opposition you get to the word of God and hearing God is actually within the church and other believers, people who haven't heard that message. And look, it might sound really reasonable. You know, go and do this thing over here. You're going to lose out on this thing over here, which is even better. And then we get reasoning. And the next thing you know, we've lost what the voice of God was and what he's called us to do. These people were also faithful to complete the tasks that God assigned them. Once they heard the word of God, they went off and did it. And they gave the glory to God for all of their outcomes. And I think that's important too. Even in our lives, we're probably not going to go out and, you know, lead a whole nation to victory or lead a great revival in that way. Well, who knows? We might. But the important thing is that we never say, oh, how good am I? Look what I have done. We always need to give the glory to God. So as Christians, it's a vital part of our Christian life to hear from God. In fact, if someone said they'd never heard from God ever, I'd be concerned. I'd be wanting to have a prayer with that person and say, have you given your heart to the Lord? Do you belong to him? Because if you're not hearing at all, God's speaking and he's speaking a lot. So that would be the first place. And the next, is it possible for people to come to church, do you think, and appear to be obedient, appear to be listening, and appear to hear the voice of God? It is. But sometimes they're not. And I think, you know, we need to remember that we can be deceived. Coming to church is not enough. Even doing good deeds and is not enough. You can even sit in a prayer meeting and it may not be enough because it's not us giving our heart to Christ 100%. So Matthew 7, 21 to 23 says, on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? And then I will declare, never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. It's a bit chilling, isn't it? Unless, of course, you've given your life to Jesus 100%. And then it's not at all concerning. But it is important to remember that it's impossible to obey God if we don't hear him. How can we obey if we haven't been told and we don't hear? And it's possible to be deceived into thinking that we are good Christians, but not be in relationship with God at all. So this whole thing just always comes back to relationship with God. One of the other things about hearing God is sometimes that we, when he's talking to us, we say, you know what, I'm pretty busy today, Lord. Busy, Lord? And that's only me. I'm the only one who's done that. Right, okay, cool. No, Val's done it. It's two of us now. But sometimes when we hear the voice of God and we know it's important, we can put it off. And this is what Hebrews 3:15 says. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the day of rebellion. So the first thing that all of this importance of hearing God comes down to is make time. Make time. Part of your daily life needs to include your prayer times, your devotional times, and, you know, it's about building a relationship. You can't have a relationship with your partner, your family, or with anyone if you only allocate them like 5 minutes a day or a bit of a nod. Oh, yeah, I'm in a relationship with you. Off you go. It doesn't work that way. We need to spend time. So how do we hear God? It's the Holy Spirit who brings the word of God alive in us, and he will teach us all things. John 14:6 says, but when the Father sends the advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. The living word is the Bible. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is quick and active and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So we hear from God through the Holy Spirit. He's made it completely obvious to us. We have the Bible. There it is. That is the revealed word of God. However, we're not going to understand it unless we ask the Holy Spirit or unless the Holy Spirit teaches us. There have been many theologians who read the Bible from cover to cover, smarter people than I'll ever be, and they'll never meet God because they haven't been seeking him. The Holy Spirit may also speak to us through dreams and visions. If we go to Acts 2:17, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. We can hear and see God at work when we use our gifts and the calling that God's given us for the edification of the church. And within the body of Christ, we can hear words of wisdom and words of knowledge. We can see miracles. We can see healing. So when the body of Christ is working well and we're listening, it's an amazing place to be. There will be so much power because God's word does come with power. When we are hearers, not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. When we use our gifts, we use the roles that God has given us to use in the church, we will be hearing and responding and God will act. It's a powerful and amazing place to be. So everything so far has been born out of the relationship that we have with God. We can bear fruit when we hear God and we obey him, and we can do mighty works in his name. But what are the blocks? And look, there's many, so I've just narrowed it down to three because I don't want you to fall asleep while I'm going on up here. If you've had times where you don't hear from God, or if you haven't heard his voice, you might be saved, you may not be, you may be out of step. Something else might be going on in your life at the moment. So some of the common blocks that we have are things that are deep within us and sometimes we haven't even recognized. Do you remember the story of Jonah? So Jonah gets called, go and take this message to the Ninevites. I.e., take this message to the people who want to rip you apart, kill you, destroy you, do all of that sort of stuff. Off you go. What does Jonah do? He's like, no way, I'm not going to those people. What happens if they repent? Well then, a couple of things. He led his reasoning and his human reasoning to get in the way of what God told him. These are the enemies of God. And sometimes we're asked to go to the enemies of God too, people who have done all sorts of things. But God still wants us to be in relationship and he still wants to take word to these people. The other thing is you can't hide from God, just so you know. Doesn't matter where you are. It's kind of fruitless trying that. But when I was thinking about that, it led me to think about this. How hard is it to contend in prayer for people who are directly in opposition to me? For people who have sinned against me, they're just hard to love, they're hard to forgive and easy to disregard. That would be my human reasoning. That's not hearing from God, because this is what God says. Bless those who persecute you and do not curse them. This is Romans 12, verse 14. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So when we have something like this and we've been hurt, which may be deliberate or not deliberate, the block of bitterness, anger, trauma, self-righteousness, because basically I'm right and you're wrong, you know that, don't you? Clearly goes against God. The problem is that when we actually turn that around and feel justified in taking our position, our hearts become hard. And then we've blocked out what God is saying to us. And, you know, sometimes we're so good at rationalizing that and justifying ourselves that we're completely out of sync with God. And it's really hard to in something that deep and that bitter in our hearts. The other thing that is a big block, this is mine, I know none of you have got this, is pride. So 1 Peter 5:5-6 says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. So when I was thinking about this, I thought pride's just like God repellent, isn't it? You know, we're just sort of saying to God, well, you know, I've got it. I'm doing this by myself. And it can be really sneaky. Pride is one of those things where, you know, we can just be going along that, I'm really humble, you know, I listen to everybody. But then, you know, underneath it, it's like, well, actually, I'm pretty good at whatever this might be a work thing, might be relationships, might just be something where we think we're better than others. So then I thought, how does this go in the church? How does pride affect us? And here's some of the things that I thought you could add to this, I'm sure. Criticizing the pastor's sermons. Sorry, Nick, we don't do that. Criticizing the worship team or the way things are done, coming from a place that's not of honest appraising that might lead to good conversations. But when this is done, when we feel like we're in a place of superior knowledge or skills, we know better, then in that case, it's really hard to have a heart that's open. And teaching the worship, anything that's in the church, if you're standing back and judging it, you're just not going to hear God. It's a real block. taking parts of the Bible that you like can be a nice pride thing. You know, I was talking to someone recently who sort of said, well, I just don't like the teachings of Paul. The other ways that we have pride that blocks us when we intellectualize the Bible. You know, some people look for secret meanings. They interpret it to meet their own agenda. And they're not really looking for God. Whatever it is they're reading the Bible for, they're doing it out of their own motives. And they're not willing to believe the word of God, to surrender it, to be saved and to be taught by the Holy Spirit. So I would say, be very careful to people who say, I've got this secret knowledge. I know something that you don't know. We also, you know, block God's voice by applying scripture to back up our viewpoints. You know, where we use it, we get, right, you know, that verse in there, that's the truth and that's the way it is. That's generally our pride, and that will be a great block to hearing from God. I reckon the KKK has done that pretty well. The other thing that in churches quite a bit can happen is that we can get involved in useless wranglings. We talk about things that don't really matter. We get into arguments about stuff. And again, that gives us a block. And just to sort of pull all this together into something else that's a block that I think is really, really something that we don't think about so much, is that we can have emotional blocks to the Word of God. You know, Ephesians 4:26-27 says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. You know, and sometimes we'll say, look, I'm not an angry person. I keep short accounts. I've forgiven God and I forgive, sorry. And yes, actually you do forgive God because, you know, so many people blame God and we're angry at God, but we dress it up, don't we? I'm really angry that God let this happen and that happen. And then we start blaming someone else and it escalates. So we need to actually own that one, and we need to own our anger. So when we've got unresolved and unrepentant hearts, it might look like this. We might be impatient. With seething anger turns into impatience, and it's selfish because it treats others disrespectfully. And it's the opposite to God's example in his word, where love is gentle and kind, and if we have to bring word of rebuke or teaching, we do it with kindness. We often feel justified in what we've done, I've mentioned that before, or we might blame the other person because it's their fault that we're angry, isn't it? Didn't they do that thing? Instead of us taking responsibility. But another way that anger comes out is actually by gossiping and destroying people's relationships. We're talking about them. That does not come from a place of love. But if we hear the word of God, he says this, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. So anger can lead to fear. And then fear leads to us making really bad decisions. Fear holds hands with doubt. Over and over again, Jesus. Primary relationship in your life is with God. You won't be sure he's speaking to you unless you spend time getting to know and hear his voice. You need to know him so that you won't be led astray. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love him with all your soul and all your mind. All your soul. I said that twice down here. I must have had a great time putting it into the computer here. But you get my point. We need to love him. He needs to be the one we worship, not ourselves. So when you go back and you look at some of these Old Testament people who just heard from God so amazingly, that's where we learn. Don't compromise on your prayer time with God. Make sure that that's your priority every single day. Last page coming up for all of you. Keep awake. Keep awake. And ask God to search your heart. He is always there. He is always talking. We just sometimes don't listen. He loves you. He will help you through everything that is blocking you at whatever time. He has your best interests at heart. So in closing off, let's be quick to repent. Let's seek God and his kingdom. Let's develop our ears and hear. God is hanging out to draw you to himself in perfect love and perfect voice. So let us just pray before we go into the last part of the singing today. Father God, thank you that you tell us everything that we need to be more than conquerors in this life, that we have your Holy Spirit within us, teaching us, leading us, that we might follow you in every single way. And Lord, help us to use our gift and our calling for the kingdom of God fearlessly, because we have jobs, we have things to do that you made for us even before time began. We thank you and we praise you that you never give up on us and that you have us by the hand constantly. In Jesus' name, amen.